How is everybody doing? And welcome back for another Strength Chat episode. Today, I've got a very special guest for you all. Today, I'm joined by a strength conditioning coach. He's also a current serving soldier, and some may say a buster of fitness fads and myths. Today, I am joined by the one and only Dean Hammond. How are you doing?
I'm good, mate. Thank you for that introduction. I might put you in my pocket and take you everywhere with me.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm available for birthdays, parties, all that sort of stuff for introductions. How are you? What's been happening in your world, Dean?
Life is good, mate. Can't complain. Currently on a bit of half-term stand down, so get to spend some time with the family, which is always good and always needed. However, even after 2 days, I feel like I'm ready to send them back to school and me back to work, to be honest with you, mate. But yeah, it's always one. Anyone that's got kids will resonate with that. I'm absolutely fucking sure of it. Anybody that's got kids will be like, yep, second day in, I'm ready to go back to work. Like, ready to go back to work. So yeah. But yeah, other than that, mate, all is well. All is really, really well in terms of what's happening in our world. I think probably the better question is what's not happening in our world. It's quite busy. I'm known for having a metric fuck ton of things going on, which is always quite a good thing, I think, I suppose. Whether that's positive or negative, I don't know. But yeah, there's a lot going on in the world, from working with many different athletes in my own sort of strength and conditioning business, all the way through to online coaching and performance, to tactical athletes. Like, tell me something I'm not doing, and that's probably an easier place to start, to
nice.
be quite honest.
Yeah. Plenty of things to keep you busy. And it's funny you say about it being half term. I had some sessions this morning. I'm backing in the gym later tonight. And one of the members was in and he was having a cup of coffee. And I was like, your session finished about 10, 15 minutes ago. Are you all right? And he was like, I'm just having a bit of peace and quiet. And I was like, we've got a microwave. I went, do you want to bring your food in? I went, that's absolutely fine. He was like, I'm just going to sit here 2 minutes. I was like, no worries.
Mate, that's the parent's life. Like, you take a parent on any PT session, you can have them for the hour, mate. They'll just sit and watch you all day if they could have the chance, you know.
Yeah.
Ask any parent.
Yeah. Yeah, I was just like, yeah, help yourself. I said, it's free coffee. I said, you can stay here all afternoon if you want.
Mate, can I come?
Yeah. So I know I did a pretty brief introduction there, but obviously, you know, there's a lot more strings to your bow. You've mentioned there, you know, a lot of things, a lot of projects that you've got going on. But for anyone who doesn't know your background, how you got involved in coaching and basically, you know, to what you're doing now, just want to give a little bit of a background to yourself.
Oh, mate, love that. So yeah, so for me, I've been, let's go first and foremost. I think the first thing I need to tell everybody is, first of all, I'm a husband and I'm a father. They are without doubt, arguably the two most important things for me. They allow me to be the visionary that I am in strength and conditioning. They allow me to be the visionary that I am in business, but they allow me to do the things that I want to do. They're my purpose, right? Behind everything. You know, not to be airy-fairy or namby-pamby with a lot of people, but people miss their purpose. And I always draw back to that without my wife and kids, I got fucking nothing. Like, I have got things, of course, but they're my everything. And that's changed, of course, over the past 2 decades. You know, I've got a 13-year-old and a 10-year-old daughter, which both necessarily don't act that way. They act like they're 21 and 18. But I go back to that point that those are the things that allow me to be the person that I am. And I always try and implore that with anybody that I speak to. Yes, I might be a number of other things, but those things are just things that I do in my life. They don't define me. What defines me is the person that I am. It defined by the fact that I'm a husband, defines by the fact that I've got good values. I've got a marriage to my wonderful wife who I've been with for the past 16, 17 years. Nice. And there's a reason why she's still in my corner, having been on a number of deployments, two deployments over to Iraq, one deployment over to Afghanistan. There's a reason why all of those things kind of come back to the person who I am, which is a husband and the father, a loyal friend, somebody who is built on those morals and those values. And I think anybody that serves in the military, they get that as well, right? They get that. But aside from that, I've been involved in the strength and conditioning space for many years, mate. A number of different, in all different realms as well. So much like many other people, started my life as a 6 week, 8 week civilian personal trainer that got qualified on, I think I did mine through Discovery Learning or something like that all those years ago in 2005 or 2006, at some shitty online course that didn't really lend itself to what the industry is about. And that was really my inception into this industry. I believed, you know, we didn't, calories were a thing back then, but it wasn't like the hot topic it is today in the world of fitness, right? Like back then it was about, let's just get people involved in high intensity interval training. Let's do body pump. Let's do boot camp. Let's do kettlebells. Let's do all of this, because that's the stuff that's going to help people get lean and get ripped. And, you know, we give them a diet plan in a Word document, or we write them. I remember I used to write 4-week programs in a folder, and I used to send that to all of my clients with a piece of paper. I had all the Word documents and everything written down that we would do for the next 4 weeks, and they'd tick the boxes. And then we give them a diet plan that was like almost a similar sort of carbon copy type of thing with different meal templates. You give them that for the week or the month, and then you check in with them in 30 days time, and they bring their folder with them, and you'd have a chat. Like, I remember doing that. So like, that's kind of shaped my whole being. So my inception to strength and conditioning kind of led me down that route. I've been involved in Olympic weightlifting. I've been involved in sports performance, both in vocational and occupational fitness with tactical athletes. I've worked with body compositional athletes, all the way through to combat athletes that deal with, that are boxers, martial artists, Brazilian jiu-jitsu athletes. And that sort of spans over a 15-year career, I suppose. I still serve in the military. I am in the Royal Army Physical Training Corps, and we are essentially specialists in human performance and optimizing human performance for the tactical athlete. And what that looks like is it's about shaping tactical athletes to go out and do an operational role wherever that might be, whether that's in Afghanistan, Iraq, the current world and the current climate that you see in front of you. So there's lots of different things that strength and conditioning comes as an umbrella. I like to consider myself a holistic practitioner. Yeah. I'm somebody that is very much into the depths and weeds of habits and lifestyle and understanding what people are about. You know, I think there's far too many fucking people that are so myopic and very tunneled into their approach with training, and forget that when you look down a corridor, there are many different doors that you can open that kind of contribute to people's corridor. Whereas very often you'll see people just fixate and focus on the corridor. And we can't do that in this day and age, because the demands of health and performance are so fucking varied. They're wide. And there's so many different things that need to be looked after, from environmental factors, biopsychosocial factors, nutritional factors, and everything in between, right? All the way down to the sets and reps and the exercise that we use, because we're biomechanical fucking wizards, whatever the hell you want to call it, right? So there's loads of different things that come with that. And inside that job, I've served in the Royal Army Physical Training Corps. I transferred across in 2016. And before that, you can't just join our corps. You have to go through a certain period in the army. You then have to be accredited as a physical training instructor and a specialist. And then you then can transfer into the Royal Army Physical Training Corps and become a human optimization specialist and a physical performance specialist, et cetera, i.e. an S&C coach. But my career started way back in 2006, 2007. And like I said, I've done two operational tours of Iraq, one operational tour in Afghanistan, and all of those. You know, it's not a prestigious career. It's a prestigious organization, but it's not a prestigious career by any stretch of the imagination. I'm no hero. I'm nobody that's done anything that anybody else has ever fucking done. I've worked in some pretty impressive establishments, working at the Army School of Physical Training, where I've had the opportunity to teach, educate, and develop essentially level 3 personal trainers to become assistants, if you will, to human optimization specialists out at mainstream units. So these guys go out, and these are probably the ones you see on social media all the time with white vests on and combat trousers. They're the ones that are delivering in the midst of what strength and conditioning is all about. And that was a job that I was so ingrained in. I loved it. It was amazing because we got such an opportunity to work with a varied amount of people.
Yeah,
all the way to working at the Royal Military Academy in Sandhurst, taking the officer cadets and the Army's future leaders through their physical development pathway, and training them to be professional leaders, physically fit leaders, robust, resilient, you name it, right? It's important that we inspired those future leaders. So you have to, when you go there, you have to become the person that doesn't just preach fitness, but you also need to do it, because you get found out very quickly. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then in more recent years, I've served with the 1st Battalion Welsh Guards, an incredible unit, sort of like a dual role. They had this operational sort of desire that needed to be filled, but they also had the ceremonial duty that they needed to do as well. And at the moment, I'm currently serving with 22 Engineer Regiment, in basically the arse end of nowhere, if anybody knows it, Perham Down in Tidworth. And they are essentially the combat teeth arm of what the engineers offer. They're the close reconnaissance engineer unit. They've got an armored background. They've got a recce reconnaissance background. They've got an incredible background of people. And all of these are amazing places where I really have just had such an amazing opportunity to play around with lots of different modalities of fitness and strength and everything in between. And yeah, that's kind of like my career. Aside from that, mate, like everybody else, I don't know anybody else that doesn't have a first class honours or a bachelor's in sports and exercise science, strength and conditioning. Like, I've got that. I've got a huge practical background that stems across loads of different routes and journeys that I've been through in my life. But I suppose my passion really extends beyond all of that, helping the everyday human being, the general population human being, and the diverse challenges that they face in everyday life, the everyday athlete, kind of help them push their boundaries, break this bullshit stigma that goes around this industry and challenge the narrative. And all of that has kind of allowed me to branch into this space in the online world as a strength and conditioning coach and create the Catalyst Project, which for me is my baby. It's my bread and butter. It's my life. I've got an incredible team. I've got my assistant coach, or my head of performance, who is Joshua Exton. He is another performance coach. He is a strength and conditioning coach, an exercise rehabilitation instructor, got over 8 to 10 years of experience. And for him, he's somebody that has literally had his own journey that he's been through, from an overweight fat kid to somebody who is now fucking kicking ass in life and doing the very best that he can be as a tactical athlete. Yeah. We've got a performance nutritionist in our team, Adam Glover, who is without doubt, arguably the one of the most meticulous and elite nutritionist consultants I've ever worked with in my life, a very close friend of mine. We've got Gary McNamara and Dr. Ashley Cox, who are our lead clinical exercise rehabilitation coaches. So as a team, I'm so proud of what we've created in the online space. And it's just such an amazing place to be if anybody knows about online coaching. It's so, so good. And I cherish those moments. And that's probably the only other thing that are probably worthwhile saying, mate, is I also mentor and guide coaches. I look after other coaches in this space to kind of navigate this fucking bullshit that's in this industry, because there are mentors out there, and we know what we're talking about, mate. These Dubai professionals that spit out all the bullshit, the laptop lifestyle, the Lamborghini cars, the Rolex watches. There's no substance to the product. It's go and do all this crap. So one of the best things I get to do is I get to impact, and I get to work with 300 other coaches inside of Supercharged, with another serving guy that I worked with and another amazing dude, Ollie Carson. And as a teammate, like, I'm in this space, I'm in this world to create impact, and I'm here to dominate, and I'm here to win. Like, be under no illusion. Like, I will do everything in my power to help those people around me because I care about them. Yeah. But more importantly, I want to bring this fitness industry to a place where it should be. Yeah. And if I can just leave my smallest mark on somebody, I know that when I'm lying on my deathbed and somebody's reading out my eulogy, there's never going to be a little comment that says Dean was all of these things, but I'll never make sure that there's a but. I'll always make sure that it's had purpose and there's an impact for a reason, everything we do.
Nice. I think that was, I'm glad I just led with, you know, strength and conditioning coach, because like what you said, there was a lot of umbrella to that, a lot of things that you've gone from there. And actually, what I thought was quite cool. So my brother was in the army, my brother was in the logistics. And
nice.
When you said there about the PTIs, I remember I went over, he was based in Akrotiri. This is a massive tangent, but it'll probably make you laugh. And I went over there for my 18th. My 18th with a couple of other squaddies was an experience that I'll never ever forget. But I ended up doing a little bit of training at the time. He had like a couple of MMA fights. So I was doing a little bit of training. And I went over, and I remember walking into the sports hall, and it was the biggest guy I ever saw, in a white vest, obviously desert trousers. And yeah, I just remember thinking at the time, I was playing a lot more rugby, and I was like, I'm pretty fit at this, I'll be all right. think I crawled out of that spot. So, but it was really, really good. So, yeah, even ever so slightly, I've experienced a little bit of it. But I always thought, what a cool job that would be. So I'm glad you
It
touched on
is
that
good.
because I just thought about that. Yeah, when I went over, my brother was like, "Oh, do you want to come do a little bit of training?" I went, "Hey, all right, then we'll do that." With
Yeah,
that though,
love it.
because obviously you've said, there's quite a lot of things that you're doing there. How and you're already touched on in terms of like life balances. How do you balance all those things? Because there's a couple of other projects there. How do you find that balance and be able to, because I can see how passionate you are about all those things that you've mentioned. How do you make sure that you're putting that enough effort into each thing to make sure that it's where you want it to be? Because I know, I work with quite a lot of clients who travel a lot with work, run their own businesses, and trying to balance life and everything else. How do you kind of find that and find that balance if you do find that balance?
So first of all, I don't think balance exists. It's a made up word in the industry that people think that there's going to be balance. Like when one thing is a priority, another thing has to be given. When one thing is a focus point, another thing isn't. Like it doesn't matter what realm, what journey, what path, what route, what fucking fitness endeavor you are trying to tackle. Whether you're losing your first 5 pounds or trying to break a 500 pound P or a 1,000 pound club PB on your SBDs, your squat, bench, and deadlifts. It balance will always be out of the equation. So I think it's really important to preface that and say that if you're trying to find balance, you're going to fucking fail and you're going to fall flat on your ass because time and time again, you're told by these shit fitness influencers that balance does exist and it doesn't exist. There has to be sacrifice with certain things in life, right? So going back to that point, how do I find balance? Quite honestly, don't let Instagram or the world of fucking health and fitness fool you. My life is not fucking balanced. Some nights I'll get 4 or 5 hours sleep because I'm up until midnight liaising and communicating with athletes in Australia, liaising and communicating with athletes in Denmark, in Poland, in America, wherever they are all over the world. It's really important that I show up for them. And equally, I know I need to protect my time. The best thing that I have is I have a support network around me that's allowed me to become the human being that I am today. And that's not a look at me moment because for some people, that's like, well, you're fucking a nobody. And do you know what? Yeah, you're right. I am a nobody, really. I'm not an anybody. I've just somebody that's cracked the code of compartmentalization. I'm somebody that's cracked the code of understanding what hat I need to wear, when I need to wear it, and for how long I need to give my time. And I think that's probably a really good message for people to take away is that look at what's a priority for you in your life. If you look at everything in your life that's, and we could probably put this down to maybe five or six key areas, family, health, when you talk about body, you might talk about profession, career, you then might talk about self-development and happiness. And there are hats that you wear at different times, right? I know I've got a really forgiving wife. A wife that stood by my side. She's my best friend. She's my, for want of a better word, she's my absolute soulmate. She will be the person that wipes my ass when I'm 70 years old. Absolute fact. But she's also part of my journey. And that's something I think a lot of people fail at. A lot of people don't include the people in their network and bring them into that journey. I am so blessed to have a wife who gets what I do. She's integrated into my own online coaching business. She's our COO. She's our chief operations officer. She looks after the administrational stuff. And for me, I couldn't live without her and what she does. And that also comes as her being a mother to my children and doing a lot of the mothering roles. I be the father. I am a father. Can I do better? Of course I fucking can. Can I do better in my relationship with my wife? Yeah. Who's perfect? Like nobody's perfect. Can I do better as a coach? Yeah, I probably can. There's loads of things that I can do better at because none of them are of an even balance.
Yeah.
When there's a hunting phase going on and we've got loads of athletes coming through the door and we're really driving this, and maybe there's a group of athletes that have got, and these are everyday athletes, people have got competitions or they have a certain target they're trying to hit, or we're in a peak phase or whatever. It's a testing time. And my time is spent working on my athletes, really diving deep into my athletes and making sure they're okay. Fortunately, I've got a great team behind me that allow me to do that in Adam, in Josh, in Ash, in Gary, like those people in my team and my community, they're all remarkable humans. So when my relationship cup empties a little bit because I need to work on the coaching cup, and that coaching cup fills, then that's where it is. A little over 2 years ago, I was out in Iraq for 3 months delivering the upskill of mainstream strength and conditioning to the Iraqi army and their physical training and physical development cohort. So I was taking 30, 40 Iraqi physical development instructors and teaching them about S&C and showcasing them the movement fundamentals, getting them to understand energy systems. That was fucking challenging. And that was 3 months where I didn't really get to fill any relationship cup with my wife. I might have a couple of calls with her in a month just to say, hey, and I could speak to my children. That's fucking challenging. Yeah. And I go back to this point in what I said at the start is I've just become exceptionally fucking, if there's anything I'm good at in this world, it's wearing a different hat at a different time and compartmentalizing what the fuck needs a piece of me every single day. And it's no, there is no 4 a.m. alarm. I wake up and do a 60-minute journal. I sun my arsehole. I get in an ice bath. I drink all of my special greens powders. And then I start, you know, rubbing the manure of a gypsy vanna horse onto my skin. Yeah, I don't do all that bullshit, right? Because that's not real though. Let's be honest, Steve, mate. That's not real. Do you know what I mean? And I think people glamorize and glorify that, which is great. And if that works for you, brilliant. But what works for me is I wake up in the morning and I'm like, what is the fucking hardest task that I need to get after today? If it's in military, right, let's get that shit done. Tick it off. Get it done. What's the hardest thing that I need to do in business when I've got to wear my business hat? This needs to be done. You know, what's the hardest thing that I need to do from family relational? Okay, this needs to be programmed in. And it's all about compartmentalizing time. Like, my time is so valuable and it's so... it's protected. But equally, if you were one of my athletes or you're one of my clients in the coaching mentoring game, my desk would be wiped clean of anything that I've got on so I can focus on your problem. Why? Because I'm a human first person. Yeah. And it's important that we have that discussion because, like I said, I don't think balance exists. I really, really don't. I wear lots of hats at lots of different times and I've just kind of worked, I've cracked the code with compartmentalizing things that I need to do in my day to make sure that I can be an effective coach, an effective father, an effective husband, an effective role model, an effective leader, but equally also an effective mentor and whatever other hat I need to wear, you know?
Yeah. I think the two main things that I kind of take out of that, and you kind of said it at the end there, is time and actually being effective in what you want to do, which, you know, coaches that I've worked with know of, time is that commodity. And when you know, speak from a client's point of view, all those things of, don't get me wrong, I actually do have a lot of clients that actually do journaling. One woman has actually dropped off because she's basically opening up a new studio. She's working like 70 hours a week. Look, that isn't a priority, even though like it makes her feel good. And it makes her clear ahead. That's not a priority. Whereas, you know, having that time, like what you said, which I really liked, is, you know, being effective in whatever hat you need to wear. And that's the same for a coach, because all coaches, all trainers have life after that. And, you know, all clients are going to have kids, family, friends, a social life, training and everything right there. And I think that's the biggest thing that sometimes people forget. Like, all these things are can be important and can be tools to use, but sometimes... Yeah. Again, might be a little bit of a tangent, but sometimes I feel can help people procrastinate in terms of actually being, what is it that I need to get done?
Massively. Procrastination is the worst thing for a lot of people. And I'll challenge anybody on this call that listens to this podcast. I'll challenge anybody. Go onto your phone, put on your screen time, and tell me what your daily average screen time is. Your attention is being stolen more times than you care to admit. And when it's work, we fucking work. When it's family time, it's family time. When it's coaching time, it's coaching time. And you'll be surprised if you looked at, if I gave you 8 hours a day for the next 90 days and said to you, invest those 8 hours that you spend as a daily average screen time into what you want to chase after over the next 90 days. And I guarantee, and I'll put my year's fucking salary on it, I guarantee, and that will include everything I earn, I guarantee you will be in a completely different space in 90 days' time, because you've used the time and effort that you need to do. And it goes back to that point. It's like, we want to work with people that are committed to do what they need to do. I don't want your excuses of, I haven't had time. Like, you do have time, but you're just spending it in the wrong way, and you're not compartmentalizing what you need to do. And again, you go back to the point, journaling's great. I journal every single day in the evening, and it takes me less than 3 minutes. And we use a method called the power of three that I've given to all of my athletes. Three big wins, three big things that you can improve, three big positives that you've done for happiness, health, and wealth, and then a thought of the day. Go in, write it down, one sentence, one statement, job's a good one. That takes me 3 minutes. But I know by doing that, I'm allowing myself to reflect a little bit introspectively, and that's a priority for me. So your client that you've just said there dropped off because she's building a studio, and she's like, mate, that I get that, because right now she needs to wear the hat of a project manager and the hat of being a coach and the hat of being a leader. And maybe the journaling and the training might have to take a second step back. And that's okay, right? That is okay. So again, if people can understand that you've got a lot of, and who was it that said it? I think it was Love Island star, Lucy May or something, whatever her name is. Like, she got hounded for saying that everybody has the same 24 hours. She's not wrong. Like, we all do have the same 24 hours. And if we can spend it doing the things that we want to do, all you need to do is go on your phone and check what your daily screen time average looks like. Because if your daily screen time average is more than 4 to 6 hours, there's probably a problem there that you need to rectify if you haven't then achieved your goal, right?
Yeah, definitely. I think I can't remember what documentary it was, but it was basically about how, like, Instagram, because really, realistically, you know, social media is kind of like an all-seeing eye. You know, it's where a lot of people get that information, but also get steered maybe in the wrong direction sometimes. And they use it like a slot machine or kind of thing, where it's like you get to the end and it's like scrolling. It's like, I need to get to the end or anything like that. And, you know, when I watched that, I thought it was, people that the people that have invented it, they know what they're doing. They know how to get people to keep using it. One thing that I wanted to touch on, and I think you actually shared something about this not so long ago, is we've spoken about, there's quite a lot of variables that impact people's lives.
Yeah.
Where do you think, and you know, I am of the mind of, you know, we don't need to overcomplicate things. We can keep it simple. But then the flip side of that is, where do you think the downfall comes, and that has an impact on people's mindset, whether it be a coach or a client, in oversimplifying things, just thinking like, oh, well, just do this and that'll be fine, as opposed to how do you try and take into account, you know, the stress, the work, fitting everything in, and not thinking that everything can be made simple, if that makes sense.
Well, I suppose that's a challenging question, because it depends who's in front of you.
Yeah.
That's the answer. Like, it depends who's in front of me. Are we at calories in versus calories out is probably the easiest argument I can bring up here, because although calories are a unit of measure, they're a unit of measure based on energy in the body. We know that. And you get a lot of, let's say, a lot of charlatans in the world of health and fitness that will say you need to eat less and move more, very quickly forgetting the fact that you've got somebody that's led their whole food dichotomy for the past 30 years of their life, ingrained with good and bad foods, cheap meals and good days, refeed days and bad days. They look at view foods as good and bad, and that dichotomy, the guilt that they face. Then you look at the psychological response that they have when they're indulgent in certain food groups. Then you look at the psychological effects that it then has once they've eaten those certain food groups, and the guilt that that then faces. Now go and say calorie, you need to fucking eat less and move more, to somebody who's potentially morbidly obese, has really struggled mentally to get on that right track, and we're just going down the line of, you're fat because you're eating too much food, you need to eat less and move more. Well, first of all, that's a really myopic approach, and that is incredibly, incredibly damaging to people in this industry. Like, I put out fucking polarizing stuff on my Instagram, 100%, I really do. But if you read the caption and you actually read into the things of my messages and you followed me for any amount of time, everything is about the human first. The human at the center of that journey is how you then direct what you do. I can simplify something for, I've worked with Olympic athletes where I can tell them, right, focus on this key area. Training intensity needs to be the key variable. I want you to hit an RIR of 2 or 3 repetitions because, or 1 or 2 repetitions, because this is the focus point for this session. This is the adaptation we're trying to chase. Do you understand that? Yeah, perfect. And equally, I could turn around to exactly the same or exactly the similar athlete and turn around and go, right, you need to hit A, B, C, and D. That's what I want you to do. So simplicity comes from your ability to know the person in front of you and to be able to effectively communicate your message. Yeah. If you haven't read the book Conscious Coaching, go and read the book Conscious Coaching, because that tells you and it showcases, it doesn't tell you, it gives you a good example, should I say, of how you need to, again, be a chameleon. Adapt to the person and adapt to the environment in front of you. I've got coaches, I've got clients that, I got a 59-year-old female athlete who is absolutely fucking unbelievable. And when I say unbelievable, she's been through some shit in her time. She wants it straight to the point, an autocratic, direct approach where to a point it's an instructional-based relationship. And that's how she wants that relationship. Have we done the coaching stuff? Yes, we have done coaching aspects in certain areas. Like, okay, we're identifying that this is a problem area. What could we do to better improve this space? What could we do to make this an easier transition for you? That's coaching. That's identifying coaching. Sometimes it's, oi, fucking do this, do that, and this is the route and this is the outcome we're looking for. Do we understand that? Yes, great. And that same application of coaching goes across the whole spectrum of people, of human beings. And it's understanding what hat we need to wear at what times. Do we need to go down a peer-to-peer guided discovery route? Do we need to go down a self-guided discovery route? Do we need a direct instructional route? Do we need something that's more open-ended and kind of relates to the intrinsic motivators that help people find their route and their journey? Yeah. So my stance on this oversimplification, are we at danger of oversimplifying things? I think a lot of the fitness industry has tried to simplify something that is very complex. The human beings as a thing are fucking complex creatures. Every single one of those people has a different route, has a different mindset, has a different wiring. Neurally, they're different. Behaviorally, they're different. Their intrinsic, extrinsic motivators, their lifestyle, their biopsychosocial factors, everything about that human is different, which makes somebody so fucking unique. You have the same chance of winning the lottery and being struck by lightning as you do being born on the same day. So when you put that into context, that's like, fuck, man, that's rare. We are unique fuckers. So it goes back to that point. A simple message might work for one person, but for another human being, it really might not. And I get in the, and I think Instagram is it, I suppose, to be fair, reflecting introspectively, maybe I'm at danger of oversimplifying things. But when people work with me, they very much realize quickly early on that I am that no bullshit talking type of coach. Yeah. But I'm also one of the kindest, nurturing, most caring human beings that's out there. Because I want nothing more than to make you feel better about yourself, because that means you then don't become a hindrance for yourself, your family, for the nation, for the UK, for the world. And you're not another statistic that's just wasting away. Like, it fucking means something. So therefore, in my journey to be a coach, my goal is to become a master of communication. And if anything goes, is you need to be a master of communication. So I am arguably honing in on that craft more and more as the years go by. And Instagram is just a great way that allows you to connect, because it needs to be entertaining. It needs to be people don't go on Instagram to get educational advice. And if you are, you're in the wrong fucking place. Like, people go on Instagram to be entertained, to have that little, almost to have that little endorphin release, whatever they need to get their kick of being on Instagram, and kind of like draw themselves in. Oh my God, something's going to happen. This is great. Oh yes, great. Or be made to feel like things, fitness or health or whatever they're doing, whatever they're looking at, is fun and it can be engaging. Yeah. That's what Instagram's there for. You then join our community, and very quickly you realize we've got a community of many hundreds of people we've got in coaching and in business. And then we've got a team of people that are incredible master communicators that will wear a different coaching hat for a different person at every single different time. And not one of those people will oversimplify a message to the person that's in front of them. What they will deliver is the right message to the right person at the right time.
Yeah.
And that's probably the bottom line for everything when it comes to simplifying messages, I think.
Yeah. I think what you said there is that that communication and being able to explain something. I know, you know, I look back to when I first started training and I was like, why aren't people getting what I'm saying? Why aren't the clients doing what I've said? And ultimately, and this is where, you know, as I've got older and my role has changed at the gym that I'm at now. So basically I have training with the trainers each week to be able to be like, right, how do you communicate effectively? Because I'll probably say, depending on the client, I'll probably say less now, but try and make it. I think the key word throughout this has been, you know, effective, to be like, right, this is what we want you to do. However that client, that athlete wants to be directed. And when you said about conscious coaching, I had training on Friday with one of the other coaches, and I literally said to him, "Have you got Audible?" He was like, "Yeah." I was like, "Go listen to conscious coaching, because I think, you know, that human element, you've got to train what's in front of you, that person in front of you to get the best out of it." And I think, kind of moving on to the a follow up question from that is, when you're looking at Instagram and all that information, do you think that why people are looking at that is that they're just looking for an answer straight away, and people are just happy to get the most generalized thing out there because it's like, right, do this. This is going to make all your dreams come true. All right, cool. So I found my answer, as opposed to being like looking beyond that a little bit more and being like, you know, what is it? Like what you said about, you've got that entertainment, but then underneath you've got the information. You look a little bit further, podcast, working as a mentor, experience, you look a little bit further, as opposed to just trying to find that one magic formula, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think you've got to look at human beings as a, and what they need. They need nurturing. Like, human beings need tribes. Human beings need to assign themselves two things. You know, it's why you are a strength coach. You are part of a strength and powerlifting and strongman background, etc., whatever those things might be, a rugby background, you know. All of those things have come with assigned communities and tribes. No different than the Catalyst Project and how we do things. Like, the Catalyst Project is a community, is a tribe, is a cult. I want the right people to be in there because I want people to be cultivated by a positive atmosphere and a positive environment. And I think people go on, I don't think people actively go on Instagram to look for those things. They stumble across something that all of a sudden just strikes a nerve with them from a psychological aspect. And it means that there's another quick thing that they could potentially do that could find the answer for them for something that they're missing. And that can be anything from, okay, now I need to assign myself as somebody who is fasting. Now I need to assign myself as somebody who is doing keto. Now I need to assign myself as a bodybuilder, or as a Hyrox athlete, or as a CrossFitter. Like, because people, and we've got to think about human needs. Humans crave tribes and crave communities and crave connection. It's part of those four big pillars of what a human being is. Like, community, tribe, connection are the one of the biggest things that we look for. And I think when people go on Instagram, it fills that link and that missing link that they might be facing in those spaces in their world. And am I the right person to talk about this? Does it qualify me to talk about the fucking psychology of the brain? No. If you want that, go and speak to James Elliott, a fucking fantastic human being that will talk to you about that. Go and speak to Dr. Gary Mendoza, who will talk to you about CBT and cognitive behavior therapy and mindset coaching. Have I done the courses? Yeah. But when it comes back to, and it boils down to, is people are looking to latch onto something that give them more meaning and purpose, or identify them as doing something so it makes them a characteristic, right? Yeah. I am a father. I am a husband, right? They are things. That can't be changed away from me. I then say, I do BJJ. So now I'm a Brazilian jiu-jitsu athlete. And I'm like, well, again, I was longing and nurturing and looking for a tribe and a community I could be a part of, because I've explored lots of different feats of performance and strength. Like, that's just another thing I've managed to assign myself and latch into, you know? And I think that's what people look for. People look for that link that they can potentially create some sort of tribal connection with whatever that human being is saying. Like, why do you, a greater question to ask yourself, like, why do you follow the people you follow on Instagram? Because they somehow, somewhere align to values that you have. Whether that's fucking the world's strongest men in your Eddie Halls and your Gavin the Bulls, like those people, you know, big up Gavin Bull, good friend, great guy. So these people, whether you align to those people, you align to those people, why? Because they're part of a big community that you embody yourself in. You've dedicated a lot of your life's work into this area. Like, why did you follow those people? So if you ask yourself the question, why am I following those people? Like, I stopped following anybody that doesn't align to my values. A great example of this is, you will never see me ever go on Instagram and do a reaction video of someone like fucking Eddie Abu talking bullshit about food groups, or somebody like Joel Seedman talking about 90-degree eccentric isometrics, or somebody like Naudi who talks about functional patterns and doesn't really understand fucking progressive overload, or equally Dr. Aaron Horschig from Squat University, who spouts absolute bullshit about the fucking toes and the position to drive business to his fucking open box fucking lifters. You'll never see me do a reaction video like that. Why? Because I don't follow them. I don't care for their content. I don't need that content, because I know that creatively I'm producing content that speaks to the people that want to be aligned to my tribe and want to be aligned to my values. So when you see me jump on here and I'm like, right, fucking let's go, and we're straight into a certain piece of content, I know that's going to align to people that want to work with me and they value that type of direct autocratic approach. You come and work with me, you'll get that. But then you'll see a different layer as well kind of unfold. You'll see that nurturing, empathetic side of me on my Instagram. So I think when it comes back to that question about, like, you know, you're talking about the cultivating things and the signing things, I think it really is, it kind of comes back to that, doesn't it? It's like, well, what are we digesting? What are we consuming? Because if I'm consuming that, I'm more than likely going to start believing in those things and start cultivating those mindsets too.
Absolutely. The thing that was going through my head there, so I'm always, with clients, athletes, I always say, go and read stuff, look at stuff, bring it back and let's talk about it. Sometimes, you know, I'll either have seen it or read it myself. You know, sometimes new things will come up and I've never actually read that before, which is pretty cool. But the good thing about social media is, what I say to people is, you can always click unfollow, you can always click block, and all of a sudden that filter, you can clear it out a little bit. And going back to, you know, one point that you mentioned there of, you know, if you can leave one mark or one little bit of information on somebody and it makes them improve or makes them, you know, take that step forward, that was the whole reason why I set up this podcast, so that people can have just a different perspective, a different take on things, rather than, you know, a lot of things that are sent out there, because there's all the same messages, whereas sometimes you just need that little voice over there to be like, well, what about this? And I think that is, you know, I've had it before, you know, throughout my own coaching, where somebody has said, well, have you tried this? Then you give it a go and you're actually like, oh yeah, actually that works better. You know, it's not a case of just a one size fits all.
Never. And there's never a one size fits all, is it? Like, if anybody's listening to this, like, the way I see the world is completely different to how you see the world. And it's completely different to how loads of other people see the world. If you align to it, great. We're probably on a similar wavelength and we might have the same similar values. If you don't, that doesn't necessarily mean I'm wrong. It just means I have a different perspective. Like, just because Dr. Aaron Horschlig talks about these wide toe box shoes, like, if you feel good in that, great, because that's a different perspective. It works for you. If you like doing 90-degree eccentric isometrics to overcome peak forces and overcome rate of force development and build an adaptation to strength, and you believe in what Joel Seedman says, then again, that's okay. But I will more than likely, in most cases, when we talk about like strength and stuff like that, we need to kind of underpin what we're doing in this world of fitness, and it has to be underpinned by evidence. And it has to be underpinned by science. That's the whole point about being a pracademic, a practical individual that practices academia. That's the whole point. It's why we've got an incredible lead like Dr. Ashley Cox inside of our team, who is at the forefront of sports science and everything around health. So, you know, when we talk about things, yeah, they might be polarizing and they might be different. Like, we put out polarizing things about time management or whatever those things might be. Like, you have a choice. If that doesn't align to you, you're right. You absolutely can unfollow. But rest assured, if we're saying something, 9 times out of 10, it's coming from a place where it's being practiced and it's being preached. It's been lived by. It's been evidenced. It's why so many people have so much to say about the likes of Joel Seedman or Eddie Abu, because what they're saying just sometimes is simply not true. It might work to a degree, but also a lot of the, like, it's hard to put someone like Eddie Abu in that bracket, because what he says is so damaging when you look at the fitness culture. But let's talk about perspectives. Maybe he has helped just one or two people in his network that have now become fitter, healthier, faster, and stronger individuals. And they're in a better place for it because they believe in not eating what he perceives as toxic food, like cereal and stuff like that. And that's okay. Like, that's absolutely fine. But there are also aspects where it's like, well, hang on a minute, you've been a bit of a charlatan here, and that's not true. That's not correct. You're telling people they're not allowed to take whey protein, yet, funnily enough, we look in your gym and on all your shelves, there's whey protein products that you're selling.
Yeah.
From your gym. So it's kind of like, well, hang on a minute. Are we? And this is why I say to people, be careful about what you consume, because what you see and what you hear has a direct impact on how you show up in the world.
Yeah.
Fucking fact. And I will stand by that. If you're consuming constant reaction videos from other coaches that call out bullshit, you will only ever be searching for people that just talk bullshit. You'll only ever question anything that comes out of everybody's mouth. You'll never, ever, you'll just be a pessimistic prick all the time. That's the way that you're going to show up in the world. Fact. Equally, if you become this dude or dudette that just constantly consumes yogi stuff or holistic health, star signs, and like the well-being around herbal medications and the old Chinese methodology, again, that's fine. That's not a problem. But then when somebody offers a clinical, scientific-led, evidence-based, peer-reviewed meta-analysis of information that says, maybe it's worth doing this because we have the evidence to say it, straight away you're going to be like, nope, Chinese medicine or whatever it is, or I can pray to the sun gods and it's going to help me. Like, and this is why it's important, really important, to understand the perspective of the human being. It's where it's come from. Like, you, that's why I would say, I'll never call an individual out online, but I will always challenge an ideology,
yeah,
or a general thing. Like, I'll challenge the people that are a busy professional. It's an ideology. You're a busy, yeah, professional, but if health isn't a priority, that's okay. That means work's a priority. How do we make health a priority? Equally, I could call out loads of people in the strongman and powerlifting world. The ideology of powerlifting and strongman, is it healthy? No, not for a lot of people.
Yeah,
that sounds like a really polarizing statement, but actually, let's dig a few layers deeper. You go to the top of the profession with strongmen, powerlifters, like, they've got to put themselves through some serious, serious work to get to that stage. Are they healthy? Are they the healthiest people on the planet? No, but they probably know that. Then they're aware of that. That's just a perspective. They, in their eyes, might be, I'm pretty healthy. The blood pressure's good, you know, that type of thing. My blood is pretty good. Testosterone's pretty good. Health overall is doing quite well. Okay, that's good. So actually, as a definitive of health, you are healthy. But then we get started, like the joints. What does the joint structure look like? What's the muscle? And that's where we start finding, well, actually, who is the healthiest? Who is the fittest? I know it doesn't matter, that question, but it all comes back to perspective, and we can challenge ideologies and sometimes challenge people. But there's a reason why that person has a perspective, because they've got experience in the game. Like, I despise Joel Seedman. Absolutely despise his work, because that's my opinion.
Yeah.
But I won't call him out. I won't go on his comments and leave negative shit there. Why? Because negativity just invokes more negativity. Nothing good has ever come from a negative comment, ever. Yeah. Nothing good has come from a negative comment in any way, shape, or form. And I guarantee you, find somebody who is doing better than you, who calls you out for your bullshit, or says X, Y, and Z. Because 9 times out of 10, you won't. They're not doing better than you.
Yeah.
Because they won't. Like, it's just simply the case, isn't it? You know? So it is about challenging ideologies above all else and understanding people have got different perspectives. And I value people. Like, Joel Seedman's got some incredible stuff that he's done in the past for this industry. He's done some great stuff. He's actually encouraged people to move. He's encouraged people to do training. He's encouraged people to do this. Naldi from Functional Patterns, exactly the same. Dr. Aaron Horshig has done some amazing things for the world of fitness in the online space. Arguably, one of the forefathers of where the industry went.
Yeah.
So all these people off. Eddie Abu has done some good stuff for this industry. Like, let's not make two bones about it. It's really important that from perspective, like, you understand where you're getting your information from and practically apply stuff as well. Like, it's no good reading a paper or reading a book. Like, knowledge, like having knowledge and doing nothing with it is the same as not fucking knowing.
Do
something with the knowledge. Like, if you're reading conscious coaching and there's a coaching thing in there that aligns to you, practically apply it and see how it works. Yeah. If something I say works and it triggers you and it gets you in that frame of mind, try it. If it works, great. If it doesn't, then feel free to come back and say, Dean, you're talking absolute shit. It didn't work. I'd be like, okay, why didn't it work? I'd really love to hear more.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely. It comes back to that point of when you said there, you know, try it. You know, you're working with a human. It's not a case of we're not all, you know, storage banks and we're just going to get all that information and keep it there. You know, you need to be, you need to use it. It'd be like doing your theory test to drive and then not actually going to drive. And
exactly.
We kind of, I don't know where we've come full circle, but you did mention there about, you know, speaking to. So I actually I was lucky enough to have a host a seminar with Brian Shaw and Eddie Hall. Nice.
Good lads.
And they both said at the very top, there is no balance. Like, when Eddie Hall went to go do his 500, that wasn't a balanced lifestyle of like, yeah, I feel awesome. It's like, right, I'm gonna do my 500. I then need to lose weight because I'm not in a very good position from there. Whereas at the time, you know, like what you said there, speaking to him, you might be like, well, this is my goal. This is what I'm going to do. Everything else took a backward seat. Same as like, you know, I think there was a podcast with, I can't remember her full name, the woman who won, is it Tia? The CrossFit.
Tia Claire Toomey.
That's it, yeah. And she had a podcast of, you know, she was on a podcast saying that, you know, she had to put so much commitment into it, but now I think she's had a kid. Obviously, that's going to change it. That's going to change it around again. I think there was some really good points in there and some food for thought, especially from a client's point of view, for a coach's point of view as well. But the last question that I like to ask Dean, from everything that we've said about there, and there has been some absolute gold nuggets of information in there, but for everyone listening, coaches, athletes, what would be your take-home points or words of wisdom from everything that we've spoken about today?
Fuck me. Take-home points or words of wisdom. Fuck my life. That's an odd one. I feel like you need to make it something properly compelling, don't you? Something where people are like, what? Like, if you've come here for that, you're in the wrong frigging place. That's the first and foremost point. I think, that's such a challenging question, because I think there's so many things that people, and I don't just want to give some bullshit answer around like whatever that thing is. I think you got to look at if you're listening to this podcast, I'm assuming you're into health and fitness. If you're listening to this podcast, I'm assuming that you are somewhat embodied into being a better human being. So let's think about what makes you a fucking better human being. And it all comes down to, of course, trial and error with things. Everything is a grain of salt. Take everything with a pinch of salt. Take everything at face value. Learn it, practice it, do it, repeat it. It doesn't work, reapply it, do it, learn it, practice, repeat it, do it, same process all the way through. It's that learning cycle. But I think if there was one thing that I could say to somebody, and it's something we do say quite a bit to our athletes and the people that we work with, but, and it sounds a little bit airy-fairy, because athletes are renowned for not doing this because they just fucking rinse and repeat. But if you can find your why and you get a deeper understanding about why do you show up in your relationship? Why do you show up every morning and dunk yourself in an ice bath if that's what you do? Why do you show up every morning and put breakfast on the table for your children? Why the fuck do you show up and go to the gym 2 times a week to go and do a 45, 50, 60 minute PT session? And we call this being driven by purpose. It's the biggest slogan that we run in our business is driven by purpose. Because in order for you to be a, you can, anybody can be a high performer. Anybody can be amazing at what they, mothers are high performing athletes in their own field. Eddie Hall was a high performer when he was going for his 500 kilo deadlift. You know, you are a fucking high performer when it comes to doing your podcast. And if all of those things aren't in alignment with why you're doing it, you're never going to really have a deeper surface layer of waking up and doing the things that you need to go and do. And something we try and get everybody to do, we call it a purpose statement. Like we get somebody to write out, you know, if you could do one thing today, and there's probably a few questions here that you could ask, and this all comes back to that point that you've made. The first question you could probably ask yourself is, if I don't do this, what happens? If I don't do X, what changes? If I do X, what do I gain? And it's those things that are probably quite deep introspective work that needs to be done by the athlete. And if you're struggling to find out what that is, I will always go back to this thing called empathy mapping, something we do a lot with sports psychology, or like the surface layer of trying to get people to understand their own self. It is in the sports psychology sector. And it's called empathy mapping. And it's a way for you to be empathetic to yourself and understand exactly what the fuck you need to do to show up every day. And it's all about, if you envisage your future, whatever that future is, put a timeline on it, 12 months, 18 months, 5 years, 10 years, whatever. When you look at those things and look forward, what do you feel? What do you feel inside yourself? How do you think? How do you do? What are the things that you do? What pains have you removed? What gains have you made? How do you act visually? How do you show up in the world? Mindfully, how are you showing up in the world? And if that's what you want to look like, feel like, think, do, act, pain removed, gain made, and we go through this empathy bridging process, all you need to then do is go, well, how do I get there? If I want to be more confident, if I want to improve my conviction when I'm showing up on a daily basis, if I want to improve my feeling as a father, where am I lacking? What's the things I'm lacking as a father? Well, is it time that I'm spending with my children? Is it meaningful and purposeful time? If it's meaningful and purposeful, what's the distraction that's creating it to not be meaningful and purposeful? Is it that fucking 7-inch piece of shit that you carry in your hand? If it is, you have a choice. If you want to be a better human being and show up as a father, then maybe have a rule. You have a choice to not have that in the room when you're spending time with your family. You have a choice to not have notifications on. And no more now than ever can we be in a world that allows us to do this. The same can be applied to health and fitness. If you want to go and break a PB for 5K, break a squat record, break a deadlift record, and those gains are what you want to make, well, how do you do that? What's the lowest common denominator and lowest hanging fruit that you need to do in order to get to that stage? And if you don't do those things, what's the cost of not doing those things? That's the question. What the fuck is the cost of not doing those things? If you want to break a 5K PB, it's damn sight harder to live with the pain of regret rather than live with the pain of failing. Period. There's things I've regretted in my life because I didn't take the chance. That's why every single time somebody says, do you want to do something? I'm what we call the yes person. I'll be like, yeah, let's find a way to do it. Because you never know. You never know when there's an opportunity that could be around that door. This conversation could spark a whole different relationship for the next 10 years between you and I. This conversation could spark a whole different relationship for the next 30, 40, 50 years. All because when we were messaging through the DMs, fancy a podcast, like, yeah, let's do it. No hesitation. Send it. Let's go. When, where, what, how, why, I'm in. Yeah. And that's all because what's the cost of me not doing this podcast? what do I lose? Maybe I lose an opportunity to network with somebody who is an incredible human being. Maybe there's an opportunity that maybe what do I lose? I lose an opportunity to impact another 5, 10, 15 people that might be listening to the back end of this podcast. Maybe just that one thing I've said has resonated with somebody and they go, do you know what? This fucking hairy, top-lipped prick just makes sense. Whatever he's saying, it just makes sense. I'm going to go and follow him and I'm going to see what shit he posts. And something that I post might resonate with you. Something might align to you. And you turn around in the future and you go, do you know what? Maybe Dean's a coach that I can work with. And maybe there's a relationship that generates from that. And we've just then changed your whole trajectory of your life because you were a father that was overweight. You'd lost your way a little bit. You've got two kids and you want to be a better role model for them. So not only have I just changed your life just because you listened to a podcast that Steve and I fucking spoke about, you've also now changed the life of your two children. You've also now changed the life of your wife. You've also now changed the life of your children's children just because I said yes on a podcast and you said, let's do it. And if you understand the power of choice and you understand the question of what's the cost if I don't do something, and then you go back and go, where do I want to be in 5, 10 years' time in health, happiness, performance, wellness, vitality, strength, whatever those things are, and then go with the empathy process of how do I think? How do I feel? What do I act like? What do I look like? What's my pains removed? What are the gains I've made? Straight away, it's a reverse engineering process, mate. Just become an architect of your own life and fucking figure out what the fuck needs to happen to get to that stage. And that's it. Like, that's the bottom line. If I want to go and break a 200 kilo fucking bench press, what do I need to do every day to go and do that? Well, I'm going to need to seriously up my bench press volume. Yeah. That's the first port of call. I'm probably going to need to hire a coach that's pretty fucking good at bench pressing. I'm going to go find the best person to do that. Oh, hang on. If I want to do a deadlift, I'm going to go find Eddie Hall and I'm going to ask him to coach me so I can break that 500 kilo deadlift because I'm going to work with the best in the world. That's the point. Somebody wants to be a better human being and vitalize their life in the strength world and the powerlifting world or whatever those things might be, Stephen. Forgive me. I know there's a bit more around your niche there, but if people want to come and work with you, well, they're working with you because you're fucking good at what you do. And you can help them find those gains, remove those pains, show them what think, feel, act, and do looks like. Reverse engineer the process from 18 months backwards, 5 years backwards, 10 years backwards. That's why coaching's without doubt one of the best fucking industries there is to be in, because it's the level of impact you have, not just with a person, wider afield. So if there's anything you take from that, it all comes back to being driven by purpose. That's a big slogan that we run in our business.
You said you wanted to have a words of wisdom and take home points that meant something there. I think you hit the nail on the head there. I think that
Happy
was
days.
absolutely spot on that. I think when it comes to that, having that purpose, being why you're doing something, well, read the book, start with why as well. There's gonna you're gonna have that reason there, which I think is really powerful. Thanks a lot, Dean, for taking the time to
So
jump on
welcome.
today. Really, really enjoy chatting with you. For everyone listening who, might have any questions about what we've chatted about today, see the content you put out there, or reach out to you and get involved, whether it be a coach or a client looking to work with you, where can people find you or reach out to you?
So, first of all, thank you for taking the time and thank you for inviting me on, mate. Real, real pleasure to speak to you. It's good. Really, really good to have a conversation with good fucking people.
Nice.
I really appreciate it. And I think it's, yeah, you're in good hands when the conversation flows, right? You're in a good place. And hopefully it's been enjoyable for the listeners. But if you do want to listen to my ramblings and my musings, I'm very, very high on, not I say high, I'm hot on Instagram, as in I'm high on the collar of I'm always on the bloody thing. But I generally tend to be on Instagram or Facebook and LinkedIn. So you just search Coach Dean Hammond, you'll find me come up. There's not many of me that look like me or sound like me or talk like me. So you'll probably find me quite quickly at some point. And yeah, like if anybody, my DMs are, and I genuinely mean this, like my DMs are always open. If somebody's got a question, an observation, a concern, a query, a limitation, a barrier, a restriction, like no question that anybody asks me is too much to ask, unless somebody's like, look, will you give me £10,000 and take my wife away so I can go and live in Bali. I'm like, I can't do that for you, mate. But no question that anybody asks is too much. And be prepared. You'll get a detailed answer because I care. I'm never going to give you a short answer. But equally, you can search for us on our website, thecatalystproject.co.uk. There's a little bit more about us there. Or you are absolutely more than welcome to, if anybody wants to have my email, they're more than welcome to grab that as well. CoachDean@catalystproject.co.uk. Feel free to fire anything over. But we're a force to be reckoned with in the industry, as you are, as in we want to do better for people. Like, we just want to do better for people. And if that means just asking some questions and us giving you some simple answers so you've got a roadmap, mate, we've won. We've won, haven't we, really?
Absolutely. Awesome. Thanks again, Dean, for taking time to jump on. Really enjoyed that. And like I say, I think there's some really, really useful practical takeaways for people from there. So thanks again. Thanks a lot to everyone listening. And I'll catch up with you all next week.